Today's Shir Masech Tazach and Daf Kuf Hey, we will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Kuf Talad Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues discussing a series of questions regarding the halacha of taking out the Parah and the Srafim, the Serim and the Srafim, that we've been learning there's a new din in the Torah that if you take them out, the person who takes them out becomes Tameh. And the Gemara continues to discuss situations of them being carried out, and what will be the halacha? Bayer Belazar Belazar asked the question, Parm Nisrafim, Sirim Nisrafim, Shiyotzer, Ruba, most of the Parm, most of the Sar would take it out. However, it was Bemid Aver. Most of it is the way we have that most of this animal was taken out of the Azara is because part of the animal that was taken out is one of the limbs of the animal. And when we look at that specific limb, most of that limb is still inside. So the question is, how does the halacha look at that limb? Mahu. And therefore, this understanding how to treat that limb will have direct impact understanding if most of this animal is considered as if it's outside or not. Hachmiyut de aver. That small part of the aver, which is now outside, do we consider it as part of that aver? And that aver, as we just said, is mostly still inside the azara. And therefore, that little part of the aver that's out is not considered as if it's out. It's not considered as if it's outside the azara. And if we're going to deduct that part of the aver, then we won't have roiv of the animal. Adumma basruba de behema. What does the halacha tell us? Dumabasa, the ruba, the behema. We follow the majority of that animal. And right now, the reality that we have in front of us is that most of this animal is outside of the Azara. And if most of this animal is outside the Azara, then we have a situation that it would be Matama, says the Gemara. Pshita, so the Gemara asks, what? That question, the Gemara seems to feel, is not even in place for a question. Pshita, the Lashavkina Ruba de Behema, Vaslin Brasa Ruba de Avarim. If we have an option, what do we have to consider? Do we consider that most of the animal is outside of the Azara? Or do we consider the fact that most of this Aver is still inside the Azara? Says the Gemara, it's obvious that we're going to look at the fact that most of the animals are outside the Azara, and that's what we're going to follow. Pshita de la Shavkina Ruba de Behema. The Gemara says it's obvious that we don't ignore that most of this animal is outside the Azara. Vaslin and Basa Ruba de Averim, I look at this Aver and say, well, this Aver is mostly inside. Ella, so what is the question? Shiyotza Chatzia, half of the animal is outside the Azara. Beroiv Aver. And the way we have that half being outside the Azara is because it includes that most of one Aver is outside. So now, if we're going to include the rest of that Aver, Miyuta de Aver, Basa Roiv Aver Shadinalei, do we say that that small part of the Aver is going to be included with the rest of the Aver, which is mostly outside? And if that's going to be what the halacha will tell us to do, if that's what's going to be what the halacha is going to tell us to do, then we're going to have a situation that it's mostly outside. We're going to have a situation where most of the animals outside, and it will be able to impart tumah. Or we just look at the animal. And if we just looked at the animal, most of the animals is not outside. And since most of the animals not outside, it can't impart tumah. Says the Gemara, Rava Barafuna Masnalai. Rava Barafuna had a different way of presenting this question. Begavri. He speaks about the people who are carrying out the parvasar. He's not focused on the animal. We speak about five people are involved in carrying this animal outside. And as we mentioned in our Mishnah yesterday, apparently the way these animals were typically carried out, they were typically carried out on poles. And what happens here, says the Gemara, is that you have three people in the front of the animal and two people in the back of the animal carrying these poles. And three of these people now exited the Azara. Or partial tray, and we're left with two behind the animal. Mai. So now the halacha is, Basarayim is asking Ms. Linen, do we go follow most of the people who are involved in carrying out this animal? And since most of the people that are carrying out the animal are outside the Azara, so that will even cause that the people who are still inside the Azara will be Tamei. I Basarayim, Ms. Linen, do we look at the animal, not at the people? And we look if most of the animal is inside or outside. The status of where the people are standing is unimportant, and the Gemara remains with a teiku. So the Karen Ayer points out that the Mishnah says clearly that the people who are behind the animal, if they haven't exited, are not tamei. So what's the point of this question? So explains the Karen Ayer, our Mishnah is not speaking about a case where most of the people who are carrying out the animal are outdoors. And that's when we look at the person who actually, is he in the Azara or not? Here we're speaking about a new situation with a number of people, as we just said, carrying out the animal. And since most of the people are carrying out the animal are outside, that maybe should affect the status of even the people that are inside. Furthermore, the Achroyim point out, what it would be if it was just the opposite way, that you have two in the front and three in the back, and the two in the front are already out. Do we say, well, the most of the people are inside, and therefore they should not be tamei? Or the fact is that these people are outside with this animal, and the fact that these people are outside with this animal is enough of a reason that they should be tamei. The Achronim say the Gemara never even posed that question because it is obvious to the Gemara that if people are outside with having carrying out the animal, there's no question that they're tamei. The Ravid explains that the Gemara's question is based on the concept of Rubu Kekuloi, which is a very common concept that we discuss in Shas. And the basis of this Gemara is, do we say Rubu Kekuloi on the behema, on the carcass, or do we say Rubu Kekuloi on the people who are carrying out the animal? Another question. By Rabbi Elazar, Parma Srim and Asrafim, Shiyatsu, if the Parma and Asrafim were taken out of the Azara, for Chazru, and then they were brought back into the Azara, Mahu, Walbira Alocha, since the animal was taken out, the fact that it was brought back into the Azara, they will not make a difference. The tum is still there. Since it was brought back to the Azara, so right now it's in the Azara, and it will be tummy. Says the Gemara, we spoke about in our Mishnah, we just mentioned, how the animals were carried out. And we learned how seven of the mitzvahs, they were carried out on poles. How Rishonim Yotzu Chutz L'Chaim Zazara, the people in the front left Azara. And the Achronim, the people who are in the back of the animal, have not exited the Azara. Harishonim Shiyotzu, the people who were in the front are tamei. The people who are in the back are not tamei until they actually leave the Azara. Says the Gemara, if we're going to say that if they went out and came back in, the people that went out are tamei, so those that are people who are still in the Azara should be tamei, because the animal was mostly outside. Once the animal was outside, why is it not metame the people that are inside? We must say, because even though they became tamei perhaps, once they're in the azara, they're tor. And therefore, says the Gemara, that if the people, that anybody, the Gemara is suggesting that this should be a raya, that anybody that's still in the azara will not be tamei, immaterial if they never left, or immaterial if they went back, they were out and they came back. Amravina, says the Gemara, Vitisbara, is that makes sense what you're saying? That the people who are carrying it and still in the Azara because they're Tahor, because they're no worse than people who left the Azara and came back? Says the Gemara, Habi'inan, that somebody who became Tameh has to, the Pasuk says, Vakach Yovelo Machma. In order to become Tameh, you have to say that you have to, the Torah says that the Achay Yovel Machta Veleka. These people never left Azara. In order to become Tameh, you have to leave the Azara. So nothing to do that because you're in the Azara and you went out and you came back, that's not the Vart. The Vart is that you never left Azara and Tumah never descends until you leave the Azara. Says the Gemara, because of this, El Rabbeleza, Hey Chibayle, what is the question? If we're saying that the people who went out and come back in don't become tar, why would we say that? And the way I saw the Mechroinim explain the question, just because they came back to the Azara, what made them tahor? Ella, Kigoyin, the Nikita Lebe Kuflefi. The question is referring to a situation where people are outside, but they're holding on to the paro that is inside. So the question is, they are outside, but the question is regarding the paro. Do we say that since the paro is still inside and not tameh, because that's the locha, the paro doesn't give off tumah until it leaves the azara, or since the animal is partially outside, that is enough that it gives off tumah. And this remains with a teiku. Says the Maratana Rabbanan, Parim, are we speaking in our shurim about the Parim and the Srafim, the Sarim and the Srafim? So says the Maratana Parim, or Parim and the Srafim, Sirim and the Srafim, and the Parah Aduma, and the Sarim Mishtalech, the Sar Lazazel, Hamashalech, the person who sends that par, all of them asarfam, the person that escorts them, asarfam, the one that burns them, hamitziam, the person that takes it out of the azara. But a sword is the special concept of the mishalach, the person who's escorting it to the azazel. All of them, the aloch is metame begodim, the aloch that we've been learning of tumas begodim, the aloch of tumas begodim attaches. That means that what the person has tamei and the clothing that he wears is tamei. Vehem atzmam, the parim and the srafim, the srim and the srafim, enem tam begodim. This is a special halacha that applies to the person that becomes tamei and to the clothing that that individual is wearing. But if these parim the srafim or the paradoma or the sar lazot come in contact with begodim, they will not be matamros begodim. Not matam oichle mashkim. But if they come in contact with food, they will be matamrot food. Divrameya. Chamam paro or parim and the parim, the paradum and the par and the parim and the sirim and the srafim, matam oichle mashkin. The sir mishtalech ere matame is not matamidim, is not shuhu chai. The sar lazozel is an alive animal. And the rule throughout halacha is that a chai, a live animal, ainu matama, does not have the ability to matama oichel mashkin. And now the Gemara analyzes these opinions. Bishlam l'Rameya, the opinion of Rameya, that all of these animals, live or dead, have the ability to matama oichel mashkin, k'tanit brevi shmol, is based on a braisa that we learned in the Brisa in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanit Bei Rabbi Shmuel, the Torah says, This is a halacha that we often discuss, where the Torah Kedusha says, "V'chiyipam neflasam akol zeres ruach shizara tahu, v'kiyita ma'im alzara v'navva melnos ola of tamehu lachem." The Torah is teaching us that a food cannot become tameh, cannot become tameh, tameh sheretz, unless the food first became wet. And even though the Torah speaks about zroim, seeds, the Torah doesn't mean specifically seeds. It means any food. Mazroim shein sofel tameh tameh chamura, when food does not have the ability to give off a very high level tumah. Food cannot be metama adam ubegadim. Food can be metama other food. And now we're learning tzrichim hechsher. In order for them to be able to be susceptible to tumah, they had to have become wet first. Af kol she'ein soifel tamah tumah chamura. Anytime where we have something that doesn't have a high level of tumah, and again, a high level of tumah means something which is an avatumah, which has the ability to be metama adam begodim. Anything that's in that category, in order for it to be susceptible to tumah, it needs hechsher. Yotz a nivlas oiftar. So we've often discussed the tumah of a nivlas oiftar, that if somebody eats the carcass of a kosher bird that died without shechita, a nivlas oiftar that has a very serious type of tumah, that we've often discussed, and that is the tumah of tumas beis ablia. Normally, an animal that's an avela is only matama with maga ubmasa if you touch it or carrying it. But the Torah said that there's a special halacha by nevelas oif tar that's matama beis ablia, where you swallow it, you become tame. So since nevelas oif tar Tar teaches us Rabbi Shmuel is a situation shesoifel atamet tumah chamura, that the halacha is that a person who has that nevelas soif tar, who eats it, the person becomes tameh. Not only does the person become tameh, but even the clothing that he wears become tameh. So since it's going to have that high level tumah, that the halacha of hechsher, that a food has to get wet in order to be connected to tumah, doesn't apply to them. So now, according to this, says the Gemara, we could understand what Rameis said. Para, aduma, the para minisrafim, the serum minisrafim, the sar hamishtaleach, are all examples of something that's going to have a tumah chamura, because as we've been learning in our shurim, the people who are involved with these different situations become tumah, their clothing must be washed, and therefore, they don't have to have hechsher tumah. And therefore, the halacha is that even if they're alive, a sar lazazel, which is a live animal, Rameis says, since this is a situation that's ultimately going to be a tumah chamura, says Rameis, wherever we have a situation which is ultimately going to be a tumah chamura, it gives off tumah not in usual situations, meaning even when it's alive. But according to Rabbanon, that they hold that the parah and the parah aduma, the parah mesirim and the srafim are metama oichel and mashkin, but not the sar lazazel, doesn't have that ability. Says the Gemara, yes, l'tan of Rabbi Shmuel, if they subscribe to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, that says that anything that's going to have a high level tumah is already tameh, so then that halach ought to apply by sar mishtaleach, that we know is going to ultimately have a very high level tumah. The lastly, and if they don't subscribe to what Rabbi Shmuel is teaching us, I feel a parim parim menolon. How do they say that the matama oichel memashkin that come in contact with them? It says the Marcos Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came from Yisrael, Omar, he said Omar Marovo, that what Rabbi Shmuel said, that if it's not going to have to have, if it's not going to have a tumah chamura, it requires hechsher. And if it's going to ultimately have a tumah chamura, then he says that hechsher tumah, getting it wet, is not required. That he says, when he said that, he said, tzrichim hechsher tumah makam echar. They have to come in contact with something that's tameh. So in other words, something that has a tumah chamura, what does it mean, the definition of something having a tumah chamura? Something that's tumah because of itself, not because they came in contact with tumah. That's what they mean. And bali chayim are not something that are tumah, and therefore they don't have the ability to give off tumah. By Rabbi Elazar, so now Rabbi Elazar asks, Parim asurim and asrofim, mau shetama oichel mashkim b'fnim kibachutz. The halacha is, we're saying, as we started the brisa, that the parim and asrofim, sirim and asrofim, have the ability to give off tumah. The question is, do we say, when do they give off the serious tumah? They give off the serious tumah when they're taken out of the azara. So does that mean that the halacha says that they only start giving off that tumah only when they're outside the azara? Or even when they're still in the azara, do they already start giving off this tumah? And the reason would be, do we say that mechusar yitziyik mechusar ma'is dami, the fact that they're still in the azara is very significant, and therefore since they're still in the azara, they don't give off this tumah? Oiloi, since going out of the azara is not a very significant act, even when they're ready in the azara, they give off the tumah to oichel mashkin. Says the Gemara, Basa Dabai Yehud Pashta, after he asked the question, he answered the question, the Mechus Yitzik and Mechus Amayis Dami, as long as they're still in the Azorah, they won't give off this Tumah. Boy Minei, Rav Abba Vashmum, Rav Chia Bar Abba, the Velas Oiftar L'Rameya, the Velas Oiftar, Mash Yitamba B'Kazayis. In other words, normally we know that, this is Rashi's Pshat, that Tumah Oichlin, you need to have a Kabeya. What would be the halacha by the tumah nevelas oif tahor? And the way I sort of mafarshim explained the question is if somebody has in his mouth just a kazayis of nevelas oif tahor, and he has in his mouth a kazayis of oif tahor, will it be able to give off tumah? Says the Gemara. The machsel ara, if it's on the earth, loy tabayilach, it doesn't have the ability to give off tumah if you don't have a kabeya. The question is, the nakam pume, if you have this in your mouth, loy tabayilach. Certainly, if you have a nevelas oif, a kazayis of nevelas oif tor in your mouth, it will be matama, even though it's not a kabeya, and even though what's receiving the tum is not a kabeya, it will be matama all other food in your mouth. Kita bayilach, where do we have a question? The nakale biyode, when he's holding this in his hand. The mechusa kareva. I have to now put it into my mouth. Do we say still putting into the mouth is kemechusa ma'isa dami, and therefore it doesn't yet have that tumah chamura oiloi? Says the Gemara, mechusa kareva, just putting into the mouth, lav kemechusa ma'isa dami, is not considered significant, and therefore, since it's going to give off a tumah chamura, it's already going off the tumah when it's a kazayis. To which the Gemara asks, Eisvei, the Mishnah Masechta Taharis teaches us that there are many different types, there are many different types of tumah. And in order to understand this halacha, we have to review the halacha. There are some times that we have a tumah, like a mace, a nevela, a sheretz, a zav, a metzora, that are inherently tumah, and they give off tumah. And they give off tumah to Adam and Kalim, Oichlim and Mashka. Those are examples, as we've been saying throughout our shir, of tumah chamura. And they are in the category of Ohav HaTumah. But they're not all the same. A Nevelas Behemah V'Chaya, as we said, give off tumah b'magah b'masa, by touching, by coming in contact with something else. Tumas mace, we know is a tumas oil. That anything that's in the oil of a kazayis of mace, even though it didn't come into physical contact with the mace, is tumay. Nevelas of tar, as we're saying, only gives off tuma beis ablia, when it's in the throat. The oichel mamashkim become tumay, can become tumay, can give off tuma, but there are certain halachas regarding them. The halacha is, as we said earlier in our shir, that food cannot become tamei unless it was mukshel lekabel tumah, that it became wet with one of the seven mashkim, yayin, dvash, shemen, cholov, tal, dam, mayim, only if they first got wet, and to the satisfaction, or to the satisfaction of the person who made them wet. They also have to be edible. If they're not edible, you have to at least, as we're going to learn, have machshova, an intention to eat them. They also have to be a sheer kebeya, as we just said, to become tamei. Nevelas oiftar is not, it only because of tuma bebeis habliya. And the halacha is that if it comes into contact with food, if it comes that food has to have all of the halacha of food that's going to be kabel tuma. But as we learned a little earlier, Rav Shmuel's opinion is that anything that's going to ultimately have a tuma chamura, tuma space ablia, is an example of a tuma ablia. There he says that the halach is that it doesn't have to have hechsher, and the halach is that nevilas oif tar tamei tar doesn't even have to necessarily come in contact, as we're going to see, to make something else tamei. So now, having given this introduction, says the Gemara, in reference to the Nevelas Oif Tahar, Eisvei, the Mishnah, as we just said, says, Shloish Asudvarim, Nemer Nevelas Oif Tahar. The 13 halachas that I said regarding Nevelas Oif Tahar, Vezeach Mehem, Tzrich Machshava, the Nevelas Oif Tahar, you have to have intention that you want to eat it, because if it does, and if it doesn't have that intention, that it won't be mikai, give off tumas oichlim. Then it's tzricha hechsher. It doesn't have to have hechsher to give tumas oichlim. Umetam tumas oichlim bekabeya. So we don't say, we see from here, that when do we say that it has the tumah chamura? Only we're saying it doesn't require hechsher, because what's the reason? It's going to be metam tumah chamura. And it would still need machshava. So if it needs machshava, it's obviously still in your hand. Because if it was already in your mouth, that's the best proof that you're going to be treating it as a food. And my love, isn't this Mishnah following the opinion of Rameya? And we're learning from here that the Nevelas Oif Tar is only going to give off tuma when you have a kebeya. And even though you're holding it, it's not in your mouth, and therefore, it will not be considered like a tuma chamura. That a kezayis is enough. You have to have a kebeya. Not like Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, who said that once it's in your hand, it's already considered a tuma chamura. Says the Maralo, it's following the opinion of the Rabbanim. Says the Maralo, Ktani Reisha, what did the Mishnah say at the beginning? Tzricha het machshava, uvein tzricha hechsher. You want to use it as a food, but it doesn't require hechsher. Says the Maralo, who was the opinion that we've been learning throughout our shiur today, man shamet lehai svara, that doesn't need a hechsher Rameya. So says the Maamid, the Reish Rameya. If the Reish is Rameya, isn't that a proof that the Sefer is Rameya? And from here we see that even according to Rameya, you don't have to, it's not matam b'kazayis, not like Rechi Barab said, that it gives off tumah by kazayis also. So it's Maamid, the area. Hakadisa v'kadisa. The beginning of the Mishnah to be following the opinion of Rameya, and then the rest of the Mishnah is not. But says the Gemara, let's continue learning that Mishnah. For Midik 20 Sefer, let's learn the continuation of Mishnah. Says, Shchitasa Malikasa, doing Shchita or Malika on a kosher bird, Taras Trifasa Metumasa. It won't be Tamei. Man Shamalei Asvara. Who is the mandama that said this svara? Rameya. This svara that it takes off, this svara that an oif tar that was slaughtered, even though it's a trefa and may not be eaten, the halacha is, as we discussed previously, the halacha is that it doesn't have a din of a nevela. The halacha is that that's the opinion of Rameyer. And now, according to this, we're going to have a Mishnah that the first part of Mishnah is Rameyer, the sefer, the last halacha in the Mishnah is Rameyer, and the middle halacha that you need to have a kebeya is going to be following the Rabbanan. And Mar finds that difficult to understand. But says the Mar in, that's the way we're going to have to understand the Mishnah. The duration, the sefer, the first in and the last in, the first in and last in represent the opinion of Rameyer, and the mitzyasa and the middle din represents the opinion, middle din represents the opinion of the Rabbanan. Amar Rav Nuna Rav Zera. So says the Gemara, Rav Nuna said to Rav Zera, "Taste of a karach, don't sit down ad amrit li hamilsa until you answer this question. Nevelas oiftal Rameya, and nevelas oiftal koin Rameya." That it says that Rameya, as we've been saying, says that since it has a tumah chamura, it doesn't have the same halacha like all other tumas oichlim. That the halacha by tumas oichlim is that it has to be kazayis. Rather, the halacha is that even if it's just a, that doesn't, that the halacha is that it has to have a, by tumas oichlim it has to be a kebeya. Here, because it has the serious tumah, it's enough that it should have just a kazayis. So ask the Gemara, according to Rameya, Nevelas Oiftel Rameya, Manalai Rishi Vesheni, will the halacha be that any food that comes in contact with it becomes a Rishon Tumah, and then when another food touches it, it becomes a Sheni? Or Emani Rishi Vesheni, the halacha is that the food that comes in contact with it will indeed be Tumah, but it won't have the ability to pass. Spread the tumah further to make a sheni. Says the Gemara, Amalei. So he said to him, Kol Hecha, whenever you have a tumah, the matama adva magam, that makes a person who touches it, tumah is achieved through contact, that's what we have Rishon B'sheni. Kol Hecha, but wherever the tumah is not created through contact, they matama b'magam, ain't mine about Rishon B'sheni. Because the halacha of Rishon Sheni is learned by Tumas Sheretz. The Torah by Tumas Sheretz says, "V'kol kli cheres ashiipamem al toicha al kalshem b'toicha yitma voices shishbaroi." That the Sheretz makes the keli into a Rishon l'tuma, and then the keli makes the food that's in it into a Sheni l'tuma, and that's a special halacha. Only by tumas that are similar to sheretz, that have the ability to be matama person by person who comes in contact with a sheretz, touching contact. But as we're learning, nevelas oif tor doesn't make tumah b'magam. Nevelas oif tumah makes tumah through beis ablia, and therefore there's no din of rishon v'sheni. There is no sheni there. Ba'aminei. Rav Zera Mirab Abba Bachia, Varmalai Mirab Chibur Abba, Hadatan Chibura Oichl Maide Mashkin. If we have two pieces of Nevela, and neither of them has the shear of Kazayas, which that's the amount of, that's the shear by Tumas Oichlin. That's the shear by Tumas Nevela, I'm sorry. Neither one has the Kazayas, but this liquid that's so moist that it could give off moisture, connecting them as a chibur. That if you touch one part, it's as if you touched a whole kazayis of nevela. The tumakala. That's regarding tumas oichel and mashkin that come in contact. Vein chibur tumachamura that doesn't make adam v'kelim tamei give off tumah that way. The question is, Manan by Rishon V'Sheni, if this food touches another food, and we're learning now that it has the ability to mimatama other food, does it extend so far that that food that came in contact with these two chatzikazayas that are connected through liquid will go further and make a sheni? To which he responded, wherever it has the ability to give of Tumas Adam, there, Man by Rish Vishani. Here, as we said a moment ago, this doesn't have the ability to make Tumay Adam Vekalim, and therefore, Amen by Rish Vishani. The Mishnah taught us regarding the Tumas Begadim for the individuals who are involved, who are carrying out these various kabbonis, that if the person in the front, carrying the pole in the front, went outside the Azara, and the people in the back did not, the people in the front have Tumas Begadim, and the people in the back don't. Says the Gemara, Mishnah says, further Yotza Elu Ve'elu, when even the people in the back left the Azara, so they will at that point have Tumas Begadim. So the Gemara has been focusing on the Halacha of Tumas Begadim, and the Gemara has been teaching us that when you leave the Azara, that's when you get the Tumas Begadim. Says the Gemara, how do we know that taking them out of the Azara is what brings this Tuma? The Tana Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, by the Par Yom Kippurim, the Tana Rabbanan, Lahalan, the Pasuk speaks about the Par Koy Mashiach, the Par Amdav Shetzibur, Hu Aymer Chutz L'Shol Shmachnis. It means outside of Yerushalayim. By the Par Yom Kippur, the Pasuk says, Machna Achas. Because the Pasuk says, Ves parachatz v'sorash chatz v'shuv v'estom l'chapa b'kaydish, yoytze m'chutz l'machta v'sorfa b'eish, es arosom v'espesorom v'espirisham. So, as soon as they're taken out of the Machta Shechina. So the question is, here we have different Purim. On one hand, we have the Parahelm Dovash Tzibur and the Parakai Mashiach, where we say that they're taken out of all three Machnas. And here, by Parayim Kippur, it says it's taken out of one Machna. And what is the halacha? Because as the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, and we're going to see, all of the halachas of the Purim are learned together. So how do we reconcile that here it seems by Yom Kippur, as soon as it's taken out of one Machna, it gives off Tuma. And here it says three Machnas. That the halacha is that the burning is actually taken out of all three Azaras. That's actually correct. But here, we're learning another halacha, that the halacha of Tumas Begadim is once it's out of one machna. Ask them over Higufa Manolon, how do we know that the burning takes place after all three machnas? Says Mar the Tana Bona Brice, says, Voitzis kala parach mutzlu machna mokum tor. This is a posse by the parakai Mashiach. Again, the posse says, Voitzis kala parach mechutz Lamachna, a mokum tar shefach adeshen, vesorof oisoya aitzim beish, al shefach adeshen yusorof. It says explicitly that this is done chutz to sholosh machnas. At the oimer, chutz to sholosh machnas, oyena ela machna achas, maybe as soon as it's outside the Azara, kshu oimer bepara eda, when the Torah says beparam dovish at Sibur, voitzis a palm chutz to machna. The Sarf Isaac Yisharf is bar Harishin Chatas Akalhu. Shain Sarach Leimer. It's not necessary to repeat that it has to be taken out to be burned. Shrekva Nemar. The Pasuk says, the Sarf Isaac Kesha Sarf is par Rishin. That the halacha is of the Param Dover should be treated like the Parakai Mashiach. Why did the Torah have to say again this halacha? Litanoi Machna Shnia. That's not just when it's outside of the Azara, when it's outside the Abayis. Shoimer. Mechutz lemachna, when the pasuk says the halacha of the taking the deshen outside of the machna, the pasuk says vayitzi as a deshen mechutz machna makom tar shein tzarich loimer. There's no reason to have to say that. Shrei kva nemar, the Torah says al shefach deshen yusarev to teach us liter loimachna shlishes, to teach us that they're burnt outside of all three machnas. So from here we learn that all of these places, all these kabbalas that have to be burnt are burnt chutz l'shol shmachnas, but the tumah they give off is given off as soon as they're taken outside of the Azara.